Okay, turn your Bible to Ephesians chapter 5, please. Ephesians chapter 5. During my elementary and junior high school years in Seoul, South Korea, it was not unusual for me to see the open sewer system on the side of the road, much like in Nogales, Mexico, here now. And the stench from the sewer was so strong that it burned my eyes and made my eyes tear up, and sometimes it gagged my throat. You know, but not anymore. And Seoul happened to be one of the busiest and most flourishing capital city of the world. Actually, the South Korean economy is the 14th strongest in the world. When you think about it, in 1950, that country was demolished. By the time in 1953, Korean Civil War from North Korea and South Korea War, that country was devastated. Now, what would you think about the TV set? Used to be Sony, not anymore. Now it's either LG or Samsung. They are beating American product hands down. They are doing well. Nowadays, as you all know, we are living in the moral and spiritual cesspool in America. But Europe, Japan, and Southeast Asia were far worse than here. Trust me on that. When we went to Bulgaria, it was probably what we saw in Bulgaria would make Las Vegas look like a Sunday school classroom. You cannot turn the TV on without seeing the half-naked woman flaunting their bodies. And the most TV sitcom dialogue is below the waist level. It is hard to find any TV programs that is fit for family to sit down together and watch. And unless you watch Sesame Street or Disney Channel all the time. Ask me about Disney Channel programs. I know quite a lot of them nowadays because of my grandson. I don't know that. Don't think that this kind of program is going to get any better. It's not going to. It will get worse by day. It is in this unspiritual and anti-Christian environment, it's extremely difficult to walk in purity that would bring honor to our Lord Jesus Christ. Unless we have a strong conviction and determination to go against the flow of this cesspool world and follow the Lord's way, we will be swept away by the current of this filthy world. As I've said before, any dead fish can float down the stream, but it takes a determined and convicted fish to swim against the current. That's what God expects you to do, brothers and sisters. Let's stop and pray. Father, instead of blaming the darkness, we have the light in our heart, that is Jesus Christ. Let us be the one who carry that light, that you may brighten this dark world, that we may be your hands and feet and mouthpiece to spread your good news to Jesus Christ, to this world, with the good news of Jesus Christ to this world. Father, we pray for ourselves that we may not compromise what we believe, what we stand for. Remind us that we are the joint heir with Jesus Christ. We don't need what the world offers. Let our feet to be steady on the solid rock that is Jesus Christ. And standing on your word. Father, we pray for President Obama. He is another one who is living in the dark world. Open his eyes, that he may see the truth, whatever it takes. We pray for our troops. and the law enforcement personnel, firefighters, and those who protect our freedom and safety. Especially we think of the United States Air Force Security Forces in Kandahar, Afghanistan. Captain Gordon's troop, we're asking you to watch over them, keep them safe. And you willing, you bring them back to their families and to their home, safe and sound. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 5, please. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. Have you ever seen a child sitting in the driver's seat or in the truck or car, just like his daddy, if daddy was the one who rolled the window down, put his arms on the window, and the child will do the exactly same thing, and he will pretending that he's driving the truck like his daddy. How about this one? Daddy's walking around the house, and he's carrying something or doing something, and there's a little child and following him, mimicking every step of the way. That's great. But sad to say, what if that child is imitating daddy who is smoking a cigarette or taking a drink of alcohol? See, children probably learn more by watching and imitating the adults around them than any other ways. If we are the children of God, then we ought to imitate our Father. This admonition ties with the last two verses mentioned we studied in chapter 4 that talks about bitterness and anger. It's tragic that when this attitude shows up in the family of God. As a pastor, I've seen this bitterness and anger within the family of God and turn into the malice. And it is ugly, it's a plain mean, and it does not glorify God. However, being an imitator of God sounds like a daunting task. If we didn't have the next three words that we saw there, as dear children. See, as a children of God, we can imitate Him by imitating our Father. It's easier for us to imitate Him because it's more enjoyable to imitate someone whom we love. You agree? Family resemblance is something we can be born with within the family. But the imitation requires a lot of effort. Spiritually, it is the same. We need to study our Heavenly Father's way and seek to obey His will through the Bible. As Paul puts it, we who are God's cherished children need to follow His step, walk in love. Because these are the steps that His Son, Jesus Christ, took. Through His crucifixion, Jesus paid for the price of our sins and cleansed us from our sins. And He restored the relationship with God completely. His willingness to lay down His life and to save us, that pleased the Father. And that was considered as a sweet-smelling aroma. The world around us, however, oppose Christ's way of love and at every turn, and tries to put us into the doomed pattern. That's why Paul issued such a strong sermon for purity, and an urgent warning against the world's self-serving ways. And in the next five verses, which we are going to study. Speaking of world opposing the God's way, they not only oppose God's way, also they are opposing Israel because they know Israel has a special spot in God's heart. Have you ever seen this textbook English, the English language teaching textbook by Great Britain. The reason Britain textbook, this particular one, completely eliminated Israel. Show that picture, please. There's Egypt, there's Jordan, there's Syria. This sliver of land does not say Israel. What does it say? Occupied Palestine. They just wipe out the existence of Israel from the map. Maybe they've been hanging around with the Iranian president for a long time. Verse 3, please. The fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be mentioned among you, as is fitting for saints. We're going to take a look at the first thing, the immorality and sexual impurity. And you may say, where did you get that? Let me explain. New King James has a word fornication in verse 3, but the proper translation should be immorality. Why do I come up with that idea? Because the Greek word for fornication here, in this case, is a porneia, where we get the English word pornography. The proper translation of porneia is immorality. It includes all kinds of sexual encounter outside of the marriage, including fornication, adultery, and prostitution. Now, the second word, the uncleanness in the New King James Version, is another one that should be translated a better way. It's akarthia in Greek. It speaks of the moral uncleanness in sexual sense. It includes homosexuality and any other sexual perversion. Better translation would be the sexual impurity. In strict sense, the fornication is having sex before marriage. It doesn't matter whether you are a 16-year-old teenager or 60-year-old senior citizen. If you are not married and you are having a sex, that is a fornication. Until you say, I do, and sign on the dotted line of that marriage certificate, you are not married. You follow me? I got an email from the pastor, local pastor. That denomination is, they tend to compromise a few things. He asked me, do you have people who come to your congregation, to your church, who are living together and they are senior citizens? And how do you handle? I was thinking, hello? Do you read the Bible? It's obvious here. It's a fornication. The reason is that now, some of the senior citizens, they have a limited income. If they get married, they lose Social Security benefit because they were widow or widower. So they choose to remain that as is so they can get the Social Security benefit. They said they are Christian, but they are living together. I got a phone call not very long ago. Somebody out of blue, this young lady wanted me to do a wedding. We were talking. I don't have a problem. She said she's a born-again Christian, so I don't have a problem doing the wedding. I asked, but there is something in my heart. I'm sure it was Holy Spirit tapping and saying, ask. So, are you living together with your fiancé? There's a little silence. And say, yes, that's going to stop now. You know that's sin. The conversation didn't last long. She was checking from church to church to church. The pastor to do the wedding, but she wants to find a pastor who would do it with a compromise. She tried the Calvary Tucson. Of course, they wouldn't do it. She tried another church. They wouldn't do it. So she tried maybe this out in the boondocks and living in the stick. Maybe they will do it. Obviously, she didn't know the redneck church here. It doesn't matter how old you are. Fornication is a fornication. Understand? Don't try to cover up God's word with your some flimsy excuse. That won't fly with God. Our carnal society actually encourages immorality and sexual impurity. To claim that the so-called free sex is harmless and nobody gets hurt. Nobody gets hurt. Doesn't that sound just warming, heartwarming thing? Try to say that to the 15 years ago who just found out she's pregnant. Try to say that to the guy, young man, who had a one-night stand with a girl whose name he can barely remember, and now his doctor told him that he has a sexually transmitted disease that cannot be cured. Or say that to the brand-new infant baby who was born with AIDS virus because mom and dad was immoral. And say that to the broken home where husband or wife was unfaithful and now the trust and the peace of the family is broken. The story can go on and on. Or you may think that immorality and sexual impurity are the thing of the past. And that does only applies to the ancient day. It does not apply to the 21st century modern day people. Think again. Do you think that immorality and sexual impurity only limited to unbelievers? Sad to say, there are 56% of divorce rate within the born-again Christian community. 56%. And it's not unusual for the Christians get into the sexual addiction through internet. Before you have to open the door of this dingy place, this adult bookstore, or they go and have to look around and go through the back door. Now, with a click, 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 they are in this porno site, which covers one-third of world internet websites. One-third. Be careful for what your children get on, especially chat room. Any given day, a friend of mine who is a Dallas cop, I know I have a lot of cop friends, he's a specialized in children's crime. Any given day, there are 50,000 child molesters online on the chat room. Any given moment, 50,000. And when he went into his unit, he learned that there was 40,000 people within the Houston area active. They could not pinpoint him yet. Our defiled society put the sexual gratification over companionship and understanding individual. The result is that shallow, empty physical relationship lead to the inner loneliness and incompleteness. Would you agree? The desire to know and to be known cannot be fulfilled without knowing God and making Him known first. God has so much more to give to us than what we chase after for ourselves in the world. Good example. King David. He had wives, he had concubines out the kazoo. He got to be an idiot to have more than one mother-in-law. Listen, he was standing on top of his roof and looking down. There's a woman who is bathing. She was not his. As a man of God, he should turn around, walk in to his wife. But he lingered and he desired her and brought her in and they committed a one-night stand. He thought it was over. There's no such a thing as hidden sin in God's eyes. When he found that she was pregnant, you know the story. He had his men, the Uriah, get killed in the battle. And he said, "Oh, you're poor thing, I will marry you, so I'll take care of you." Oh, what a great guy. For a year, 1 year, heaven was silent to him. He was silent to heaven. And a year later, old prophet Nathan came to him with a long index finger, hitting his king's sternum. "You are the man." And then he continued, God speaking through the old Nathan, what I gave you was not enough, I would have given you much more. Listen, guys, you have everything you need from God. If you need more, God would give you more. And you're thinking, can I have a Corvette? No, that's not what I meant. What you need, God will provide. Don't go after the things that is not yours and that is no-no. That will destroy you. God will never give me a Corvette because I know my lead foot. I will get the ticket, so many tickets, before I even hit the I-19. Second thing Apostle Paul talked about is covetousness. Where immorality and sexual impurity are the lust for sex, covetousness is a lust for more. More. Just little more. This could include insatiable the appetite for sex in a sexual addiction, but it also includes the hunger for more material possession. In verse 5, the apostle directly connected immorality, sexual impurity, and covetousness to idolatry. Idolatry. Because these three behaviors make themselves gods in people's mind to rule over themselves and them and demand complete allegiance. Are you with me on this? Listen, idolatry makes love for God and the other impossible. Because a person who is into immorality and sexual impurity and covetousness has elevated oneself and his or her perceived desire above all else. So how can that person walk in Christ's self-sacrifice love and run after self-centered interests at the same time? So how can that person be consecrated to God and dedicate to one's possession and possessive carnal desires at the same time? So how can that person to give others while grasping all he or she can for oneself at the same time? It is impossible. We must choose one or the other, just as Jesus said. In Luke chapter 16, please. Keep your finger there and go to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, verse 13. No servant can serve the two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve, what? God and mammon. God and money at the same time. How true. Verse 4 of Ephesians 5, chapter 5, please. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. From the immoral action, Paul now turns to the immoral word. Filthiness means that it sounds like a shameful talk. And there are links to the idea of being disgraceful. This includes obscenity, which degrade and abuse others. The airwaves of the late night TV shows are filled with this kind of comment. Have you ever seen them? Good, if you haven't missed anything. It seems that the filthier and the dumb dumber they talk, the more the audience like it. Filthy and foolish and vulgar talk lead into the five danger zones. Number one, it plays too close to the edge of what can degenerate into the grossly inappropriate words and actions. Number two, it breaks down our resistance to the things that hinder our intimacy with God. Number three, it promotes a warped and degrading view of sex and marriage, which God created to be beautiful. By the way, I'm going to dare to say God created sex. It was not man's idea to create sex, ladies. In God's eyes, between husband and wife, sex is a good thing. But man and woman had to abuse it because we have a sinful nature. Fourth danger zone is it promotes a health, a mental habit of sensuality and disrespect for others. Fifth thing is it silences other opportunities to make Christ, any opportunity to make Christ known. Listen, sensual talk and guttural humor serve no beneficial purpose. Even the laughter they provoke to turn into bitter dust in our heart. And worse, it mars the delight God has planned for the intimacy with our mates. Don't go there. Verse 5, please. For this you know that no fornicator, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God come upon the sons of disobedience. Some people would insist that sexual self-indulgence and materialistic self-centeredness is no big deal. But to God, it is a big deal. Remember what I said at the beginning of this study? Children learn more by watching and imitating the adults around them than any other way. So if we are the children of God, we need to imitate God than the worldly ways. Our behavior shows whose children we are, to whom we belong. When we love Christ, we reflect we are members of His family. However, if we habitually choose a lifestyle that opposes God's character and His will, and if we blatantly, willfully, and continually give ourselves to evil, so that it become our life's pattern, then we need to examine if we really belong to Christ. You see, the constant trafficking in sin is incompatible with the Christian faith. And some of you are thinking, if you're a Calvinist, and say, well, once you are saved, you cannot lose salvation, no matter what. And you know what? True Calvinists will say that person who chooses to do this kind of thing never been saved. They will say that. And at the other side, Arminianists will say that person never been saved. So guess what? Either way, that person does not have a salvation. Does it mean that through weakness we can fall into the immorality and the covetousness? Does it mean that we are not children of God? No, that's not what I said. God knows we are dumb human beings, right? And you might think, oh, I'm not dumb. Oh, yeah, you are in God's eyes. And there we are prone to sin, prone to wonder, as one of the hymns says. The key is whether we deliberately persist a lifestyle that resists the Lord or whether the general tone of our lives reflects God's direction. Christ is to be our way of life, not sin. You with me? Verse 7. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. Do not be partakers with them. So don't go to the place physically, virtually, through internet, where you know that your carnal desire will be boosted, fanned, and don't participate in a conversation that are below the waist level. And don't covet that is not yours. In place of filthy and immoral talk, the Apostle Paul wants us to thank the Lord, and he is actually recommending that we replace the self-centered idea with a God-centered idea. And that we do not abuse God's gifts such as sexual love and the material blessing, but instead praise him for their beauty and goodness in God's design. I know this is a kind of heavy-duty teaching, but it is important for us to know. Through the Apostle Paul, Holy Spirit wants us not to be a part of those who live in the darkness of sin. Why would we want to join those who end is it nothing but the destruction? And we have been made the fellow heir with Jesus Christ. Go to the 2 Corinthians chapter 6, please. Verse 14. Do not be unequally yoked together with the unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with the lawlessness? And what communion has light with the darkness? Listen, if you struggle with sins, and Paul mentioned here, take heart. Especially sexual addiction and covetousness. And if you are flirting with somebody other than your spouse, you need to stop before it gets worse. And if you are involved with somebody, you need to stop dead on that track. God knows your grief and your shame. And he's reaching out his hand of forgiveness to help you. Take his hand so that he may lead you away from the harmful companions. But you need to take that first step forward. You may say, well, I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want the people to know. Here's the phone numbers of our pastors and elders and the ladies. Okay? And they are in your sermon note. Call them. Call us. Whatever you say is confidential. We will be extremely careful with what you say. And we will talk to you from the Bible. Don't try to say, well, I don't need this. You do need this. If you are struggling with that kind of sins. Let's say you don't want to talk to any one of us because it's shameful. All right? Then go do this. Go to focusonthefamily.com. Okay? There are tons of material that can help you. Two applications. Number one, don't be a part of a group where you can find yourself in the middle of the filthy, foolish talking is going on. Walk away. Walk away, even if it costs you your friendship with them. Guess what? You have a true friend. That is Jesus Christ. Second application. Be an imitator of God through His Word. The Bible every day. Every day. If you don't fill your heart with the Word of God, guess what? Satan will fill it with the filth and his darkness. Amen? Amen? Let's stand up and pray. I'm not going to do a call for the salvation. I think I know majority of you, just about every one of you. So this time I'm going to ask you to just close your eyes, bow your head, examine your heart. Ask yourself, do I have any impurity in my heart? Nowadays, it's not just men. It's a known fact that 30% of women who visit, who get on the internet, go to the pornography site regularly. Ladies, if you go to the chat room and you're spending time, a lot of time on the chat room with someone other than your husband, do be careful. That's how the cyber adultery happens. Don't think that it's not going to happen. It happened to the pastor's wife, it happened to the pastors. Do they not know the Word of God? Yes, they do. How that happened? Because they start to compromise. Ask yourself. And if there's anything you need to deal with God, ask God to forgive you. He will. God bless you.